In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Please be seated. In the Gospel lesson this morning, Jesus calls his first disciples. As he walks along the shore of the Galilee, he sees two sets of brothers fishing, first Simon and Andrew, and then James and John. He tells them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." He calls, and they follow, and that pretty much sums up the lesson for this morning. I've heard a lot of sermons preached in my life about why they followed him, though the scripture itself doesn't really tell us anything about that. Preachers often say things like, "Well, he must have been just so compelling a personality, or been so compelling a speaker that people just couldn't help themselves." Or they say there must have been some special quality in the disciples themselves that made them more ready than others for what Jesus offered. How else can you explain just dropping everything, no questions asked? But we know that Jesus encountered thousands of people, tens of thousands of people in his lifetime. And some people, in fact, most people, did not follow him. His disciples were a very small minority of people. And they were not particularly exceptional, either in the eyes of their society or as disciples, really. So rather than speculate about why some followed and why some didn't, or why some follow today and why some don't, instead of do a sermon that's just going to leave us all feeling guilty, I thought maybe I'd like to spend some time looking ahead to what came next in their lives, at what it was that Jesus meant by discipleship, and why he invites us into the adventure. First of all, one of the things I think we have to first grapple with is the idea that discipleship is not the same thing as church membership, or even being seriously actively engaged in your church. It seems obvious to say that about the first disciples. They were part of a movement that mostly happened outside of the synagogue. To be a disciple back then, when Jesus was physically alive on earth, was about being with him, about spending actual time with him, watching what he said and did, sitting at his feet, learning from him. Now that Jesus is not physically here to follow, we think maybe discipleship means sitting in the pew once a week, listening to your priest preach and teach in Jesus' place. Maybe attending a Bible study when we can. But that's not at all the life that Jesus invites us into. Discipleship still is primarily about spending time with him, with Jesus, sitting at his feet, learning from his teaching, not just some poor schlock in a collar. Our job is to be teaching assistants, maybe. But we're no substitute for the professor. I think the term disciple sometimes confuses things. It's a biblical word that comes from an ancient time. In our common usage now, we say things like, "Oh, he was a disciple of Andy Warhol." And what we mean by that is that he was a devotee. Maybe we mean that he was a student of Andy Warhol to some extent, but the bigger point in our common usage of the word disciple is that he's a devotee. He worships on the ground that Andy Warhol walked on. The best translation for what Jesus meant by disciple is the word apprentice. He calls us to become his apprentices, and not the way Donald Trump calls and chooses his apprentices either. It's not about proving one's worth. That's not what gets you chosen. It's a willingness to spend time, trying to master what it is that Jesus has to teach us about life in the kingdom of God. Think about an apprentice in any other field. An apprentice in cabinetry watches and studies the master cabinet maker intently, as much as he or she can. The point of apprenticeship is to master the same craft as your teacher, or to become what your teacher is. What Jesus wants is not for us to be devotees, to love him and worship him and think of him as the best, greatest man who ever lived. What he wants is for us to learn from him, to master the art of really living. This leads me to my second point about the life Jesus calls us to when he invites us to follow him. If you read the Gospels all the way through, it's clear that what Jesus means by discipleship is that we would learn from him how to live our lives wherever we live them. There's a common refrain that I hear people say a lot when they're confronted with the idea, kind of freshly confronted with the idea that they could actually be called to a life of discipleship, that apprenticeship. We worry that we'll be called to leave our families and run off and become missionaries in Africa. That becoming a disciple in that real apprenticeship way would involve a drastic change in our career or in our lives. And for some people, it does involve that kind of change. The disciples who are called in Mark's gospel today leave behind their jobs as fishermen and head out on the road with Jesus. But the fact is that it's a relative few who are called to do that. And if you actually study Jesus' teachings, you realize pretty quickly that his teachings are primarily aimed at how to live the life we already have, through the job we already have, through the family we already have, among the friends we already have, among the strangers who already surround us. One church I know that gets it right, I think, says, "We are Monday to Saturday Christians who gather for worship on Sundays." Dallas Willard, a man you'll be hearing me quote a lot this year, I warn you now, he says it very clearly. He says, discipleship is about learning from Jesus how to lead my life as he would lead my life if he were me. Let me say that again. Learning from Jesus how to lead my life as he would lead my life if he were me. I'm not sure I could say that 10 times fast, but you get the point. This is why most of Jesus' teaching, with the Sermon on the Mount being maybe the best example, is not about how you should run off to be a missionary or a priest, or necessarily that you should sign up to sing in the choir, although we could use some help there, especially in the tenor section these days, or that you should volunteer as a Sunday school teacher or get super involved in your church. That is not what he teaches, right? It's not generally about what you do, and it's not about doing religious things. It's about how you do what you do. His teaching on discipleship tends toward things like anger and contempt and lust, and how to love people who are rotten to you, how to forgive. That's real life for all of us. And his teaching is about how to live your real life wherever you live it. The third thing I'd like to point out about the life that Jesus invites us into is that it's not about perfection. It's about practice. The first disciples screwed up royally, and they screwed up a lot. Peter had a colossal failure of loyalty. He abandoned Jesus at his darkest hour. But Jesus still gave him the keys to the kingdom. The thing is, Peter and all the others had fallen honestly and authentically in love with the life that they saw in Jesus. And that is what made them disciples. That and the decision to try to be his apprentices. They fell in love with his absolute clarity that every person had access to citizenship in the kingdom of God. That there wasn't a person on the planet, not lepers, not tax collectors, not prostitutes, murderers, thieves, not a single person who necessarily had to live outside and be condemned. They saw how he genuinely loved the ones that we say don't deserve it. And so they knew that no matter how stupid or backward or worthless they felt themselves after they screwed up, they knew he loved them too. They fell in love with the confidence that Jesus had in God. Such confidence that he was unafraid even when the crowds tried to throw him over a cliff. He was unafraid when Pilate interrogated him. He was unafraid when he dragged the cross up that hill. They loved the freedom that gave him, and they wanted it in their lives. The disciples saw this life in Jesus, and they wanted what he had. That is why they followed him. And why we might want to as well. Fall in love again with Jesus. It's worth the ride. Amen.